They're back in the playoffs for the first time since 2012. Woohoo! I'm Andrew Mearns, joined today by Tanya and Greg, coming back to the podcast.
We're back.
Old times. Woo-hoo. Are here again.
I only podcast when the Yankees make it. That's my rule.
That and Festivus. That's,
yes, and of course Festivus.
We have to air our grievances.
Yes, got to air grievances. But fortunately,
there were a lot of grievances last year.
A lot of grievances the last two seasons, but this season, despite the lackluster ending, there were a lot fewer grievances, which is pretty nice.
No, I don't have many. I mean, you know, Steve and Drew's.
You have to save him for December.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. All right.
Yeah. We'll get spoilers, to God.
Can't air our grievances now.
No.
My bad.
It's October.
Greg's, damn it, I just want to complain about Steve and Drew.
I thought that's why I was here.
Well, it's okay, because Steve and Drew is, like, off the radar, apparently.
Yeah. I actually feel really bad for Steve and Drew.
Oh, God, that is...
That's,
like, just a nasty injury. Like, to hear vestibular concussion, it's like, well, that doesn't sound...
But, something he suffered literally, like, 2 years ago, it seems like it's coming back, and it's like, oh, that's terrible. Hello? Sorry.
God. did Steve Drew just text confused. You?
Yes.
Does he know we're talking about him?
Thanks, Greg. That's what it says.
He's gonna hang up and listen.
Does he have, like, some sort of Google voice alert system? On his phone.
Sure.
Like, I'm being talked about. Well, on a lighter note, the Yankees are headed into the wild card playoff game against the Houston Astros, who are no longer the Astros of LOL 2013 edition, which is kind of a bummer, but oh well.
I think their collapse was a lot bigger than ours, because the Rangers, I mean, the people expected the Blue Jays to be good. The Rangers came out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. That was a huge surprise. But, yeah, the Astros ended up in second place. And I mean, even though they're throwing Dallas Keuchel out there, I'm glad that the Yankees are facing the Astros rather than the Rangers. What do you guys think?
Well, I wanted a game 163 because seems the best for all involved. But obviously the Rangers are, well, I don't know. Outside of Cole Hamels, their pitching staff doesn't really scare me. But their offense has been working, so.
I think the Astros' bullpen has really faltered a bit, while the Rangers' bullpen, I believe, has suddenly become pretty decent.
Yeah, the Rangers did a great job rebuilding in the middle of the season to, like, really patch up the holes and make them, like, oh, wait, this is actually a playoff team now. That could be very dangerous. So, you know, props to them.
I hope they beat the Blue Jays. I'll say it.
Yeah.
Yes, I would support that. But first, got to focus on whether the Yankees can beat Dallas Keuchel for once. That would be nice. Keuchel will be pitching on 3 days rest for the first time in his career. So...
I'm not worried.
Yeah, what do you call it this game? 10 runs in the first?
If that, I mean, they'll probably knock him out by, like, A-Rod.
Yeah, that would be nice. But, well, how do we think...
I am scared.
Yeah,
I hate the idea of one.
No, it's not. I hate this whole wild card system now. It's not baseball. Like, I was just discussing this with someone where, oh, it was Kayshaw, and it was basically like, you know, all this talk about how is Girardi gonna, like, put the lineup together. How do you decide that? Like, for one game, yeah. Chris Young is Chris Young, but Chris Young actually has hit Keuchel well. And, yeah, Ellsbury and Gardner have gotten you there, but Ellsbury and Gardner have been not good for the past month or two. So as a manager, like, I don't even know what's going on in Girardi's mind where you have to look at that and make a choice for one simple playoff game where anything is possible. It's, ugh.
Yeah, and it's hard to, like, tell your starters who got you there, like, oh, in this one game, which might be our last game of the season, you're not going to start. But that's probably what's going to have to happen. I don't see... I mean, I've gone back and forth on this, but now I'm pretty sure there's no way that Chris Young isn't in that lineup tomorrow just because they need as much help against a lefty like Keuchel as they can get.
Exactly. Like, he has decent numbers against him. How do you not play him?
Especially when two of your outfielders are left-handed and have been...
suffering a major case of the bad.
Yeah.
The not goods.
Mm-hmm.
The less than ideals.
Yeah.
Ellsbury ended the season with a lower OPS than Didi, which, you know, was good for Didi, but that's not good for Jacoby Ellsbury.
Someone said that Gardner had, like, the worst batting average in the second half of, like, anyone?
Yeah.
I thought that might have been McCann.
I think it was Gardner. Worst, yeah.
I think they were both close, though. McCann was pretty dreadful in the second half, too.
Yeah, McCann was, like, third.
Yeah, McCann's, like, really worn down. And, like, yeah, actually, that's another topic, because there was some suggestion that, like, maybe Girardi would play John Ryan Murphy. But, like, again, that's another thing where it's, like, are you going to really tell your starter and your main catcher who knows Tanaka better than anyone that you're going to trust John Ryan Murphy in him in the game over McCann? Like, I know Murphy's the right-hander, but Keuchel can kind of, like, you know, take care of those, too.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to have a problem with that.
Like, really, I wouldn't rule it out, but I just don't see it.
I mean, for this game, you kind of have to, like we're talking about this, but a similar situation is, like, Dellin Betances. Dellin Betances has been, you know, a huge help, but right now, like...
he's concerned.
There is something going on with him that is scary, and, like, if they go into the eighth inning tomorrow with the lead, I'm going to need to, like, pass out for three outs because I don't know that I can watch him walk somebody, throw a wild pitch, walk somebody. Like, I will probably
don't need the resurrection of 2012 Dellin.
Exactly. But it's like, how do you not pitch him when, like, he's been one of the best relievers in baseball?
Yeah.
But it's like right now, in this one game, you can't afford for him to be the Dellin that we've seen for the past, like, 2 weeks.
Like, I think he's going to have to pitch it because he has most, even though he's, like, been scary in September, he's gotten the job done more often than not. So, but it's still, like, kind of heart palpitating, you know?
Yeah, nothing like, you know, two outs, no one on, walks the bases loaded, and then gets that last strike. And, like, there was no need to walk those three people, Dellin. You could have just did what you've done all year and strike them out. Like,
and it really
without remorse,
like,
or mercy.
I also feel like he's been really bad with runners on. Like, coming in with a runner on, I feel like he has not been good in those situations.
Yeah. And it seems, I forget, one of the broadcasters, it might have been Cohen, might have been Singleton, I don't know, but they said, like, Dellin's going to, like, the breaking ball way too much when it just hasn't been working for him in, like, the last month and a half. And, you know, when you have, like, when you have the ability to throw it in there at 98, like, sometimes that's just good enough.
And, like, the breaking ball is great when it's working, but they're not making it to the glove, and so they're just, like, spiking in front of the plate and then, like, bouncing up over the catcher's head, and then terribleness ensues.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the plus is that if they can somehow scratch a run or two out against Keuchel and Tanaka can throw even five scoreless innings, and you got Wilson, you got Warren, you got Dellin, which is a little scary now, but then you got Miller, so.
Can Miller pitch, like, three innings?
Well, apparently Warren can. If Warren can pitch like he did in the clincher, that would be outstanding.
Yeah,
I wonder if Girardi will hesitate.
Can we start Miller?
I think the Tigers and Marlins tried that experiment long enough.
But, well, I just mean for one game.
I wonder if like how quick Girardi will be to like turn to a war, and if there's a chance that now he could be starting in the division series. I know you got to win this game, and if it's like the sixth inning and Tanaka is tiring, then yeah, you do got to go to Warren. But I do wonder about that.
Oh, I don't.
That's just it.
Like, I hate everything about this.
I do. Like, if I were Girardi, I would like sit there with an entire like case of Tums tomorrow and just be like, ah, no,
crunching them.
Yeah. And I just hate this. Like,
I know it's nerve-wracking. So bad because it's like you have to change the entire way that you manage because you don't manage do or die. You never manage that way, and then like suddenly, guess what? You do manage that way, and so it's like, well, should I start, you know, this guy who is like my dude, or do I start this guy who's hotter right now, mm-hmm. and do I, you know, preserve this guy because if we win we have to play again on Thursday, or do I just sort of empty the tank and hope for the best? Like, no. I hate it so much.
No, I agree.
It's the worst. It is the worst.
It doesn't help that like the bullpen beyond those guys.
It's terrible.
Like, we were talking about this before we started recording. Andrew Bailey is probably making this wild card roster, technically. And Brian Mitchell might, too.
If either one of them even, like, touches a baseball, like, we've just already lost, I'm sure.
Like, don't let him touch it. We're up by, like, 10 runs. And even then, I don't hand them the baseball at all. They tried that in Boston.
It's the quickest way to turn up by 10 into like up by 2. And
remember that game in Boston? They had what, a 10-12 run lead, something like that, and they handed the ball to the bullpen and they almost blew it.
Didn't they have to bring Miller in?
They had to bring in Dellin and Miller.
Both of them, yeah.
Yeah, both
this,
of them.
This team since August has given me like PTSD. Like, well, I have like flashbacks to like the last year and the year before. I'm just like, don't need to live through that again.
Probably because they've been 3 games under 500 since like the end of July, which is like, that's grand.
Not good.
Yeah.
That's a recipe for playoff success.
Yes. I guess, of course, the flip side of that is the Astros have been kind of under 500 since around the same time. So.
But Dallas Keuchel.
Yes. Fortunately for them, they have the huge trump card in Keuchel, who might win the AL Cy Young Award. Maybe it'll go someone else, but like he's one of the front runners, and they get to pitch him, granted on 3 days rest, but they get to throw him at Yankee Stadium, and Keuchel knows that he's dominated the Yankees twice already this year, so why can't he do it again?
I just hope that 3 days rest, like, I hope he's not like CC Sabathia on 3 days rest. Yeah. I hope that he is like human.
Like when the Yankees, I think it might have been 2007, like they tried to throw Chin Ming Wong on 3 days rest in the division series, and he was terrible. Maybe go with that.
Be that.
That would be. I advise that, Dallas Keuchel.
I'm not ready for tomorrow.
No, I'm going to need all of the alcohol. Like, please deliver all of the alcohol to my address.
I said Nerd Greg's taken over because I'm not going to watch the first hour of that. I can't. The Flash is on. I'm going to enjoy myself and basically hope for the best.
Are you going to actually be able to like shut yourself out completely from it though and not let
you? Are you kidding? Are you going to be on Twitter tomorrow? Because I'm not. There's no way I'm going on the internet tomorrow.
No, but I'm talking about like when the game starts and the flash is on. Are you honestly going to be able to not watch any of the game or like even check the score?
We'll find out tomorrow because that's the plan.
Because like I wouldn't be able to like not look at that.
I have a very like
so nerve wracking.
I have a very masochistic relationship with the Yankees, wherein like I find it hard to look away even when they're like losing by a lot.
I'm gonna because, flip like, during the commercials, yes. But
some part of me is like, I have to watch this. Mm-hmm. So, like, no matter what, I'm gonna be like under the bed, but like
curled up,
peeking out, looking at the score.
Sleeping with one eye open, gripping your pillow tight.
Bye, night.
But with
no Mariano Rivera in sight.
If we had Mo, I would feel better. Yes. So
I'm not Mo saying that better. Mo, having not pitched in 2 years, would be better than most of the people in the bullpen. No, I am actually saying that.
No, I'm saying that. I would trust Mark.
Can we sign him for the game tomorrow?
How about Andy Pettit? I mean, he looked like he's in pretty good shape, you know?
Sure.
Any of them. Like, get David Cohn out of the booth. Let's go. You can toss it up there.
It's true.
Ugh. You're probably better than Nick Rumbelow.
Nick Rumbelow, I don't think he's making the roster.
Nick Goody.
I don't think he is either.
I know.
I think they're bringing Pazos. Or is that how you pronounce
Pazos? Pazos probably will.
Yeah.
He's not terrible.
No, I
he
feel
still
like
scares me.
I feel like he scares me the least of the AAA crew, but he's still scary.
Yes. There's no one who's not scary except Miller.
And can we just pour one out for Chasen Shreve? Because
the corpse of Chasen Shreve.
Who flipped the off switch? That is the most like drastic decline of a pitcher I've ever seen. I can't remember a pitcher going from pure dominance to so completely unreliable.
I wonder how much of it is like mental. Like,
well, he did
at some
say
point,
at the end.
It,
he's like his confidence is ruined.
I wonder
he
at some
like
point
he's
it just
on the break,
like
break of tears on one of those interviews. Like, I don't know what's working. I'm like, oh, that's actually heartbreaking. Figure it the hell out, but still, it's heartbreaking.
And I think it was like Kay. He was like, George Steinbrenner would have never settled for that excuse. If you said you didn't know what was wrong, then you were lost, and you were just admitting that you had no idea why you were bad. I was like, dude, shut up. Like, yes. How old is Shreve? Like, 25? Like,
and he's never pitched a full season before, has he?
No. Like, he pitched a few innings at the Braves and meaningless ball at the end of the last year, but that's it.
Still, I really, really miss reliable, fantastic dominant.
Think about how much better you would feel going into tomorrow with four people in the bullpen who weren't terrifying.
Yeah, where you just had to go, you just had to make it five innings, and then you throw it to the four of them, and you'd feel pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, but, to be fair, I still feel pretty good about five innings plus Warren, Wilson, Dell, and Miller, but not as good as it felt
okay
like a month ago, I would say. I also think I like Justin Wilson more than Tanya, so.
I'll be honest, I'm much more concerned about the offense than I am the pitching.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you can work around the pitching. The offense has been terrible lately.
Also, Tanaka has the ability to go out there and throw like eight innings and make it not matter.
Yeah,
whereas
exactly.
Offense... Ooh.
Yeah, if he wants to pitch like he did for his team in Japan in 2013, that would be A-okay.
Swell.
Can please, we get 25-0 Tanaka back in here?
Like, rub your magic puppy tonight and get its blessing and a complete game shutout would be, like, really good, is all I'm saying.
It'd be ideal, yes.
If the magic puppy could just, like, give
where,
you the
how about
ability.
He wears CeCe's knee brace? Does it have transmitted powers?
That knee brace would fit around him like a girdle. Like, would like enclose his body.
That's true.
Maybe, hey,
a
I'm
smaller
all for
knee brace.
No, but yeah, I mean, I said I'm much more concerned about the offense. The offense has looked like, and it's, I mean, it's Dallas Keuchel, and the offense has looked like.
Like the Yankees' hottest hitters.
What's a nicer word than crap?
The Yankees' hottest hitters right now are Carlos Beltran and then the platoon of Dustin Ackley and Rob Refsnyder. Like, that's not
exactly
good. And only one of them can start tomorrow. And so I imagine it'll probably be Refsnyder since Keuchel's pitching. But, I mean, if you're.
Theoretically, I mean, they could put Ackley at first and Refsnyder at second. I wouldn't do that because I think Greg Bird can hit.
I don't think they would do that. I think they would start Bird just because it's Bird.
Because Bird really hasn't had that much trouble against, like, lefties.
I think he has in the past, like, few weeks. But I'd still start.
Well, everyone has, though, so it's one of those.
And he still has the potential to go yard more than Ackley, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ackley's home run power has been pretty surprising.
That's true. But, Tanya, what are your thoughts on Greg Bird since he was called up?
I love Greg Bird.
Greg Bird?
I I love him. Great bird. He makes me happy.
Great bird. He's beautiful.
Yes.
His eyebrows are majestic.
Everything about him is majestic.
And that we have true. Greg Bird shirts now.
We have Greg Bird shirts.
Are you wearing them right now for this podcast?
No, I'm saving it for tomorrow.
That yep. makes sense.
The lucky Greg Bird shirt.
Or maybe I'll wear my Tanaka shirt for tomorrow. I think that'd be appropriate.
I'm wearing my Gardner shirt tomorrow.
Wear the Greg Bird shirt over the Tanaka shirt.
That'd be very warm.
You sweat for this team, Andrew.
You take the extra heat for the team. Just like alcoholism.
Yes. Good work.
I like Greg Bird, too. I mean...
Well, you should order a shirt. Everyone should.
I should.
www.gamedepot.com GameJDepot.com Greg Bird shirt.
I need a Gregorius t-shirt. What a great pickup he has been.
Nah, Fire Cash.
Yeah, that's true, Fire Cash.
You make or, it on the other hand,
Shane Green, Cy Young. No.
I feel bad for Shane Green, but I mean that was just a really, really good trade. God. Like who would have been starting at shortstop otherwise? Brendan Ryan?
Dear God.
Wait, no, he would have broken like four times. He did anyway.
He's gonna be on this team next year.
Oh, totally. Maybe he'll retire.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He won't.
No, I know he will.
I don't think Stephen Drew is going to be on this team next year now. Maybe if he didn't get his unfortunate injury, they might have considered him instead of an Ackley Refsnyder platoon. But with his injury and that contract ending, I don't think they're picking it up. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, if someone does pick up Steven Drew's contract, my hat's off to his agent.
He'll probably get a job.
Probably.
Anyway, but we're not really concerned about Stephen Drew's future employment.
Listen, I just want to rant about him for a little bit. Okay?
Give the man a second.
Can we talk about how awesome John Ryan Murphy was after the clinch?
I still say that should be on the site. That's one of the greatest quotes.
You can't do that.
I know.
Some bad taste.
Yeah.
It's true.
Should we talk about that?
Probably should.
Well, it has not really implications for tomorrow, but it has ALDS if they get there, God willing.
In general, just Yankees implications. So, CC. Glad he's getting
help. I just feel sad. Like,
oh yeah.
I don't even know what to say. It's just like sad.
And yeah. Then it made like all like the video and pictures of them celebrating and like pouring champagne on him in the locker room.
Sad. It's
like, now it's just like you can't really watch that without wincing a little bit because, like, God.
I literally yelled out the words, pour some on his knee brace. I mean, I kind of feel a bit bad about that now. But you don't know. I mean, no one knew. Not even his teammates knew. You know, Girardi didn't know, Cashman didn't know. So. It's just sad.
Yeah, and like when it's the help he needs. I think Daryl Strawberry had like said, I had a quote where he's like, "Well, I'm just glad that he's like taking care of this because like Daryl Strawberry didn't, and like this is what
I thought.
This is what they need to do." So
I thought I saw like someone reached out to Strawberry and he said he told him like the hardest part is now over.
Exactly.
I was like, that was a nice sentiment, and he's right.
And like to the people that like don't understand, like, oh, why is he doing it now? It's not a clock thing. It's like, oh, I think I'll wait until this day to say I'm an alcoholic. No, this is like a real life illness that you can't just,
like I said,
shove off.
I can speak with this. I can actually speak from experience, not for myself, but for someone I know. Sometimes you really do just wake up one day, and really, you know, you come to an epiphany. You realize that you do need help. And if you do act on it, that's the best possible thing you can do. Because if you procrastinate, you keep putting it off and putting it off, that's kind of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has a different point that they come to that makes them realize that it's no longer something that they can control. And sometimes there's something that happens that makes that happen. And sometimes it's just, you know, a personal realization. But once you have that realization, you can't just say, like, oh, I'll just wait until the playoffs are over. Or
exactly.
Until whatever. Yeah. When you realize that you have a problem that is so serious that you need rehab, you can't wait. You can't put that off. You can't... rehab is not, you know, for minor issues.
No.
Like,
if it's bad enough for rehab, it's bad enough that it has to be done as soon as you're willing to admit that that's what you need to do for yourself.
And you know 100% that CC Sabathia knows just how big a decision this is, that he he's taking him out of consideration to help the Yankees in the playoffs. And this is like, this is what he's been working for like a good 3 years now, through working through all those knee injuries and just trying to get back on the field with these knees that are falling apart. And he's giving that up because he knows he needs to get help. That's like amazing to me.
If there's one thing that you can not call into question, it's how much of like a competitor CC is. Like,
absolutely. Like,
his effort is like unquestioned. And, you know, yeah, he's struggled, and yeah, he hasn't been the CC Sabathia that we knew before, but he has never shown, you know, anything that would suggest that he's not giving everything.
I mean, you think about it. We're joking about the knee brace earlier. The reason he got that knee brace is because at one point during the season, after a lot of losses and stuff, he decided to say screw his health. He came down harder on his knee and was pitching well, so he kept doing it, and eventually it added up, and that's why he needed the knee brace in the first place. And through that, they might have discovered that just maybe having a better knee brace will help him. And it did. So that's the kind of competitor he is. You know, he it takes time to figure things out. Especially, and now when you think about it, especially when it comes to his health. You know, sometimes it takes time, or sometimes you just come to an epiphany. It's, you know, how can you fault him for that?
I just don't think that if he thought that there was any other way that he would say, like, I'm not going to pitch in the playoffs. Like, if he thought, honestly, that he could help himself any other way, I think that he would do that. But the fact that someone who sort of lives for this thinks that the only way that he can get better is to do this right now, I think that has to be respected.
Definitely.
It absolutely does.
And it's just really sad that there are a lot of people out there who are condemning him for that decision, because baseball before life, and you can't, like, these guys do this for our entertainment, but like CC Sabathia will exist after baseball is over, and he has children and a wife and people who care about him as a person and not a person who puts on a baseball uniform, and he has to do what's best for those people and not his employer.
Yep.
It just blows my mind that that self-described diehard Yankees fans who should know about like all the battles that like Mickey Mantle went through with alcoholism. That's like a huge part of Yankees history.
And yeah.
They're just like, nah.
But they like prop that up as like, well, Mantle played through it. It's like Mickey Mantle drinking probably killed him like much earlier than he should have gone. Like,
mm-hmm. And mental illnesses like this weren't taken as seriously when he was playing in the 50s and 60s either.
Like, it takes a lot for anyone to admit that they have a problem. And it takes even more to admit that you have a problem so great that you are not capable of fixing it yourself. And so,
yep.
The people who think that he should have just waited, or should have done it before, or it's like, that's not how this works. Like,
I think I had a calm response to those people. Right, Andrew?
Yep. Very, very so measured.
Yeah, restraint a bit.
It would be nice if that's how disease worked, but
it doesn't quite wait for you.
Yeah, like, you know, who knows? Everybody also wants to know, like, well, why now? Why now? And it's like, nobody knows what happened. Like, maybe he didn't like how he acted after the celebration, after they clinched. Or maybe someone said something to him and he realized, you know, that it had become an actual problem. Like, who knows? But none of that matters. Like,
and it's not any of our business.
Yeah, so it's none of our business.
Dude. But also, like, he didn't become an alcoholic overnight. Like, for him to admit that he has a problem that he needs to go to rehab for, like, this has been stewing inside of him for a while. Maybe only he knew. Maybe only the people in his family knew. I don't know. But, like, it's not like he woke up and was just like, wow, I drink too much. Maybe I should go to rehab. Like, it's not a thing that happened.
And not just the competitors CC is, but you think of, like, you know, you hear all these stories. CC takes, like, the whole team out to, like, a Cavs game one night, or he takes them out to dinner. Like, the team, like with Jeter, they have, like, nothing but good things to say about Sabathia.
They adore him.
Yeah, so, and it, you know, you can tell, like, this isn't, like, false PR or something. They really like him, and he seems like a genuinely decent, nice person who tries to do good things for those around him. And, you know, it's hard for someone to admit, like, someone who likes to make people happy, it's hard to do that if you're not, like, happy with yourself. And that can affect anything. It can affect your friendships, it can affect your families, it can affect your playing. You know, you don't know. So it's good, you know, maybe, like you said, maybe he just realized one day it's just, okay, something's not right or whatever. And it's none of our – all he gave us his answer. You know, Girardi gave us their answer. The players gave us their answers. Cashman gave us their answers. And that's really all there is to it.
Yeah.
You move on and hope, you know, hope he gets better. There's nothing more you can do. And you're not entitled to any more information. If he wants to share it, he will.
I mean, it could have just been something that, like, for a while he thought he had under control himself, and then at one point he realized, you know, I don't like the way that I act when I drink, or something. It could have been something so simple. And it's like, does it really matter? Like, he, something in him or around him caused him to need help, or yep, to realize that he needed help. So to me, I just don't understand why it matters. And for the people who are like, they owe us an explanation. No, they don't.
They don't know you shit.
A little bit.
Like, they don't owe you any more than, like, I mean, just no. Like,
or the whole, like, I'm allowed to think, you know, that everything about this seems shady. I'm like, you can think whatever you want, but
but that doesn't make you less of a sketchy person for it. Like, how would you
that was a really nice way to say something not mean about us. It makes you a really sketchy person.
I'm just saying, like, it's like, okay, well, you can think that that's sketchy, but I can think that, like, you thinking it's sketchy is, like, kind of not cool. Like,
no, it's not.
I mean, how would you feel if it was you? Like, if you were this person who was, like, in the spotlight and you had a problem and you felt like you hit rock bottom and you had to go do something about it, and yet everyone felt entitled to know, like, everything about it and why now and all that. Like, no.
Yep.
I just don't even have words for that. No.
Well, I had words for them.
These people aren't your buddy. Like, they're performing a service for you. It's called baseball. And you're not entitled to any more than they feel like telling you.
You think about, like, that's why Jeter, I think, just really tried to stay away from the media and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, he realized it was part of his job, but he never wanted to get anything, like, personal, because that was just him. And
well, you have to keep something. Like, when you're in the spotlight, you have to, like, be able to own, like, a piece of your life that's not exposed and ridiculed and put under a microscope.
There's only so much you can shelter.
Exactly. Yeah. And, like, Jeter was so big that, like, there wasn't a lot of his life that people didn't feel entitled to know about. So, you know, if there's, like, this one section of himself that he can, like, keep from being scrutinized at all times, like, how would you not do that? Like, everybody wants to do that, and he was afforded less of that than anybody, and all these guys are. Like, every move they make is just, like, especially in New York, like, everything is just, like,
to the nth degree.
You know, yeah, you know, this, just, like,
and this makes a wonderful segue into what our next topic should be about, A-Rod. What a complete turnaround, like, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year in terms of, like, people's public perception towards the man.
It's really kind of fascinating.
I mean, granted, the 33 home runs he hit during the year were pretty nice and does help alleviate some things. But, like, he's really gone from just pariah to, like, hero. Like, just, it's just coming across, like, how good of a person he really seems to be. And, like, you know, I hate to use the word, like, I guess he got his act together, but he kind of did. I don't know. It's a weird way to word it.
I mean, he kind of says that too. So, like,
yeah,
he needed that. He might have just needed that year away from the spotlight, because, like, he was pretty much off the grid entirely last year, and that was probably for the best.
Oh, and I think that, like, lets you sort of gain a lot of perspective and gives you a lot of time to, like, search yourself for, like, what it all means and that sort of thing. And, you know, A-Rod has said himself that, like, he didn't think that he could ever come back. And the fact that he came back and did so well, like, he didn't even think he could do that.
He'd make a great Warner Brothers Space Slam movie. I'm still pitching that.
I think it's kind of like, you know, when people, you know, it's kind of weird, but, like, almost losing something makes you, like, appreciate it more. Like, I think he realizes that he almost lost baseball, and being able to come back after a year away and really not thinking that he would be able to perform or even, like, be welcomed back, kind of gave him a new perspective. And
I think so someone plainly, on the guest broadcast said it.
It's so, like, plainly evident how much he is just obsessed with baseball, too. Like,
yeah, it's his life. It's his whole life.
And he's pretty good at it.
A little bit.
Slightly. But, like, I think someone on the Yes broadcast said it best. I don't remember who. It might have been Ken Singleton or David Cohn. But basically said, like, when you get close to 40, you just start to realize that you're really not going to be playing the game that much longer. So, and especially for A-Rod's case, where he's been away, you know, for a year, you're basically squeezing the last bit of talent you have out of you and hoping to make the last years of your career really good. And he just seems to just be enjoying himself so much more. I mean, he's back on Twitter, and his tweets are wonderful.
It's true.
I think some of it is he strikes me as this person who genuinely, like, wants people to like him.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, he hasn't always gone about that the right way. But I think that I read something a long time ago, and it was, like, the difference between A-Rod and Jeter was that each of them wanted what the other one had. Like, A-Rod wanted this, like, total adoration, and Jeter wanted, like, the, like, amazing, like, I mean, Jeter was great, but, like, A-Rod was, like, off the charts, you know? A-Rod, that was just, like, how to fans Jeter could do no wrong, and, you know, he made choices and did things that kept that from happening, but I think he just genuinely wants people to love him. And, you know, he's really been embraced this year because he's been performing well and he's said all the right things and done all the right things. And it seems like the people in the clubhouse are super behind him and look to him for
He's resident team help dad and, posing in the background of the amazing
That needs to always be a thing.
It's great. And, you know, like, his best days are obviously behind him, but if he can be of help to the team, and also, like, you know, they credit him with straightening out Dee Dee, and, like, how amazing has that been? Like,
slightly.
If he's the reason that Dee Dee is fixed, like, keep him on the payroll forever, because that was a miracle.
Send him down to the minors, coach some youngins, or, you know, keep him on the major roster to coach regular players.
I mean, Dee Dee looked lost, and if A-Rod had a hand in fixing him, like, that's
huge.
That's amazing. Yeah,
it probably saves the season.
It absolutely probably does. I think he's just done all of the right things this year, and it's a shame that some people are too A-Rod hate obsessed to see that and enjoy what he's done, and, you know, like, seeing him tear up after he passed Willie Mays in Boston, like, just seeing how emotional he got, like, I think a lot of people are like, oh, it's fake, but, like, I don't think it was. I think it was, like, holy crap, like, I almost didn't get this, like.
Yeah, and, like, I think when you, like, he sees the love, like, how proud his daughters are. Like, when during the 3,000th hit ceremony, like, having his daughters out there, it was really touching.
He loves them.
Exactly, and, like,
they're adorable.
They really are adorable.
He talks about how they're just, like, not impressed with him at all, and I think that's adorable.
Like, when he showed the photo of his locker with the little A-Rod uniforms on, it was so cute.
But, you know, monster.
Monster,
history's
yes.
History's greatest monster.
Like, I just don't know how you can, like, after everything, like, you just have to be really dedicated to the hate.
Yeah.
To, like,
who cares? Come on.
Imagine if he hits, like, a game-winning home run tomorrow. Or, I guess, would be today at this point. But imagine if he does that. That's going to be huge.
That'd be so. And no that'd
one
be so awesome
will
if he could do that against
happier
Pike.
For him than me.
I might be happier than you.
I don't know. I would be pretty happy.
I called 31 home runs for him. I'm just gonna
and
throw
he
that
exceeded
out.
Your expectations.
And he beat my unrealistic expectations. That's honestly my favorite thing of the year. That I called that many home runs for him, just thinking, you know what, watch him come back and do well, and I underestimated him.
Could you have even imagined 6 months ago that we would probably see A-Rod hit his 700th home run next year? Like,
wow.
Not even a little bit.
I wouldn't have thought we would see him hit his...
Doing some math. Oh.
Which one was it? I didn't think we would see him get his 3,000th hit this year. TBH. But, yeah, like...
The fact that it was a home run was pretty just wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing that would have made it better if it was exactly in Derek Jeter's spot.
Except,
but,
no, it would have been perfect if it wasn't Zach Campbell.
True.
What a leech.
Let's not degrade this podcast by discussing that human troll's existence.
No, but it would be so perfect if A-Rod had a huge home run against Keuchel tomorrow and
bring him back the Joe Nathan days.
Oh my God, that'd be beautiful. We're even just victimizing
the
Astros.
You would hear me screaming from space, like that's how real that it would get. Like,
Roxy might like curl up from like the high pitch.
Oh, she hates it. She hates sporting events that make you yell. Like, ugh.
Poor Roxy.
Carolina basketball season. She's just like, kill me now.
Just like going into my happy spot.
Can I
like,
just?
I'm gonna need belly rubs for this, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Does not like sporting events that make people yell.
they can just get past this one game.
Then yeah, I will feel so much better. Like,
even about the whole season in general. May. Like, I've enjoyed come the season, what may. But I would like a real playoff series and not like just the one. It's so annoying.
It's so stupid. Fake it's playoff game. So stupid.
Like, I'm still super happy that this team made the playoff spot, and I consider this the playoffs. But like, it's so much better to have an actual series and not just a one game playoff. And then we can see Luis Severino pitch in the playoffs.
Yes.
How fun would that be? Amazing. This crazy 21-year-old man.
Who I really like. Like, I'm a fan.
He's so good.
Yeah.
And he's
so young.
Just figuring things out, too.
Yeah. The only thing that makes me uncomfortable is that he is like a baby that has two babies. And
yeah.
I don't like that. Severino. Why do you have babies when you are a baby? But anyway, he's so good, and I want to see him start. It's true. Stop laughing. It's true.
I was more, I'll be honest, I was more laughing at the hint of Southern accent that came out. He's a baby who has a baby.
Shut up. Hanging up now. Leaving this podcast.
He is 21 years old, and he had a 2.89 ERA in 11 starts. Like, this season was basically like the best case scenario that we could have imagined for Severino this year.
Like, yeah. he zoomed up from Bird too.
Like, they both zoomed up from Trenton all the way. Was Bird in Trenton at the beginning of the season?
Yeah,
or
he was.
Yes, he was.
Yeah,
yes,
you're right.
He was.
They were both in Trenton at the beginning of the season, and
yes,
by
and
August,
I went to drive
contributors.
I went to drive to see him, and he wasn't in the lineup.
That was in Scranton.
No, that was in Trenton, too.
Oh, really? Sheesh.
Yes.
Yankees minor league system just had it out for him.
Trenton was okay, because that was because he was injured. Which, again, when you really think about that, he was injured for a good month or so.
He came up and hit, what, 11 home runs?
Yeah.
Yeah, 11 home runs.
You're right. Scranton was the one where I drove and he was in the lineup. 2 hours. Actually, 4 hours if you consider the trip back.
You know when he was in the lineup?
Uh-huh. What were you saying, Waffles?
You know when he was in the lineup?
Charleston,
right?
Did he ever play in Charleston?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Didn't he hit like a home run for you? Or was it multiple home runs?
No, was it two home runs?
No.
It was three.
Three home runs.
Right.
Three home runs for me.
For me.
All right, well, this is not cool, as cool, because it wasn't in the same game and it wasn't directly for you. Aaron Judge hit me a home run in both games I went to see him. And in Trenton, he nodded his head at me twice when I was cheering for him. And that, like, made me the happiest boy in the world. And I have proof. I have LTL and Leo Kitties. That's proof that happened.
But he didn't hit 300.
He did not. No, I will admit it is not as cool. Okay.
Just saying.
Gary Sanchez did hit one to like freaking Albany.
He hit it over the wall. That was in a terrible game in which I forget who even pitched.
Kyle Haynes, not Chris Stewart.
Kyle Haynes, right? That's right.
Who could forget?
But yeah, like, Gary Sanchez hit that, like, over the wall. It was insane. I mean, Judge hit one, too, but, I mean, Gary's just sailed.
Judge's was more of a missile than anything else. He was like,
yeah, I was like a line. You know, I can't wait till he figures out how to hit a breaking ball.
Yeah.
Because when he does, the raw power.
Actually, there's going to be some pretty awesome young talent in this game tomorrow with both Severino. Well, no, Severino's not. Might not be in it, but Correa in Houston. He's
boo.
Awesome.
Boo. Boo.
So should they just intentionally walk Correa every time, give him the trap treatment?
No. They should beam Correa.
I'm just kidding. We're at B, right?
But I'm just saying, if like Correa is eating at a local Bronx institution tomorrow and they want to give him diarrhea,
all right,
would probably support that.
That is the best take on this podcast. Nothing else is stopping it.
I'm just
let the word be known. Tanya supports secret diarrhea.
If you want to like have him share it with Keikel, also okay with that. I don't support violence, but I
do support diarrhea.
Irregular bowel movements, totally okay.
Don't act like you wouldn't do it if you could.
You all would join me.
You would definitely put diarrhea in their drink.
We're all in this together now.
I'm just
We've all committed.
That sounds really like not something.
Where has this gone? Steve, the humbler on here now. I like the way you think.
Oh, God. I didn't know the humbler could transmit disease, too.
Do you question his powers? Because I don't. You took text away from
humbler,
us this year.
Why don't you get on? Or, like, if, like, during batting practice, the humbler just, like, zoomed onto the field and, like, right into the vicinity of Correa and Keiko.
Rapid fire.
Yep. Oh.
Why do you have to take Tex away from us this year?
Rude.
I mean.
Yes. I'm happy to see Bird too, but what a year Tex was having. Like,
it was.
Yeah. What a monster year. What a comeback year. And a fluke foul ball is what does him in. Nothing
with
wrists.
I actually got to go see the Yankees for the first time since I was treated to Sergio Mitre.
That's true.
And I got to see Bird. So basically, karma intervened and to share a way to give me Bird to make up for the fact that the last time I saw the Yankees, they took Andy Pettitte away and gave me Sergio.
I don't know if you're aware of this. I was never a big fan of Sergio Mitre.
Oh, whoa. We're making groundbreaking
breaking news here.
On this podcast.
I mean, Greg Bird could still have played if it was like a Teixeira day off, you know.
But he wouldn't have, probably.
He might have.
But he probably wouldn't
have. I mean, it's not like we named a certain aspect of this podcast after how terrible he was.
I've never, like, Bird being on the team when I got to go see them almost makes up for the fact that I had to watch Sergio.
Again, he is my argument for why sometimes booing is necessary. Because you just need to let it out.
Even Drew exists. And
yep.
He's to boo. So. And Carlos Correa, who I will continue to boo.
And wish horrible bowel movements upon, yes.
Just for one day. It's not that big of a deal. It's not a life-changing ailment. You just...
Not life-changing diarrhea.
He just has to, you know, hang out by the bathroom for a day. It's not that big of a deal. Not that big of a deal. I don't think it's too much to ask.
Boy, the dirt around shortstop is looking awfully dark today.
I'm all for naming this podcast Carlos Correa's Diarrhea.
Stop acting like I'm a bad person. I'm not hoping he gets hurt. Just saying. He was preoccupied with something.
The curious bowel movements of Carlos Correa.
Or like, I don't know. Like maybe...
You see what the one game playoff is doing to Waffles Butt Ceiling?
Are you happy?
You see why this is not okay.
It's breaking me.
Oh God. Well, I think on that note, we should start to wrap this up.
Please win.
Please.
Do we need to do a Yankee Mitre of the week, or should we just skip it?
There's no Yankee of the week, is there? Sabathia, I guess, for the pitching the one game they won last week.
True.
Who else is it?
I don't know. Tanaka, because he's dashing.
Fair. I'm calling CeCe for my Yankee of the Week. My Mitre is everyone else.
Greg Bird, because Greg Bird hurts.
This is true. Very, very true.
Mitre of the Week.
Everyone else.
I would say, how do you pick?
Andrew Bailey, because he's terrible, but he's probably going to be on the roster.
Chasen Shreve?
Oh, that's mean.
I know, I said I can't give it to him, because, you know.
Chris Capuano, because reasons. Bye.
Bye.
Get off the team.
I could give it to Ellsbury or Gardner. I mean, they've both been terrible.
Just true. Both of them. They're basically one entity.
Yeah, Guardsbury, Ellsgard, whatever
the you want to call it. Fall of Ellsgard.
Yeah.
And what a fall it has been.
What's funny about Ellsbury's not doing well is that now people are coming out and saying maybe they should have kept Cano instead of Ellsbury.
It's like, yeah, were you saying that like, first half of the season when Cano was doing nothing? Nope.
But to say it's like, oh, now it's okay. Now in hindsight, okay, cool.
I still don't want that Cano contract. No. Still don't want it. So.
Nope.
Have fun, Seattle. Whoever is lucky enough to get that GM job.
Headley is a Mitre because
Son. McCann is probably Mitre too.
At least McCann is like good defensively.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know what happened to Headley's defense this year.
Oh, Beltran is, I guess, another candidate for Yankees.
But he's having. Oh, I started to say you can't make him the Mitre. He's having a baby.
Yeah.
No, he gets the Yankee of the Week because he's having a baby and he's been hitting. Yeah, that's what I meant.
He's a
May.
Yankee. He's definitely a Yankee.
Yeah.
I mean, he's undoubtedly either him or probably Didi has been the second half MVP for the Yankees.
Yeah, and he's having a baby.
Yeah,
God and bless. That is okay. He is allowed to miss workouts.
He can go be there.
And if complications happen, he can miss the wild card game.
I would rather him have that kid and the Yankees lose than him not have that kid for any reason. I don't want a repeat of like last September. That was heartbreaking.
A true fan, because
I'm sorry. That's right. How dare I wish goodwill on him and his wife over the goodwill of the team?
Well, I think that he should.
Joe Torre. Blah blah blah.
I think that he should have his baby and play and hit a home run for the baby. Done.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Hashtag home run for the baby.
Hashtag home run baby.
And then for Carlos Jr.
And then they can name the baby Homer. No, that's
Dinger.
They can name the baby Wild.
Lyle?
Wild.
Wild?
As in wild card.
Oh. As in wild card.
As in wild stallions.
Or that.
Excellent.
Oh god. My god,
they can name the baby Dinger.
Oh my god, Jason just signed up.
Hi.
Too late. Too late.
You're out.
You missed this amazing one.
Okay, so that's the podcast.
Woo!
Thanks for listening to us talk about how we might not hate if Carlos Correa had diarrhea.
Yes. There's no greater take than that from this podcast.
Please, Yankees win. Find some way to
please
cycle.
Win.
Please win.
I don't want baseball to end tomorrow for us. So please win.
Yes. Let them play the Royals. That'd be interesting. Want to see Severino? Don't want to see the season end.
Oh. I'm sorry. Before we go, again, a special FU to Billy Bean for trading away. A cost-controlled, young, extremely talented, and now definite MVP candidate in Josh Donaldson for scraps.
Greg,
screw you.
Greg.
Yes.
Would you say that you want him to get diarrhea for that?
Yes. Yes, I do. Billy Bean, with his new promotion, deserves horrible, violent, watery diarrhea.
Gracious.
And then when he calls his secretary, he says, get the Febreze. That's what I want. We're trading away Josh Donaldson for Brett Lowry and scraps. We have to face him 19 times a year until 2018. How is that okay? How is that trade even, like, okayed? Who says, you know what? I think that's a fair deal, except for that one person who I argued with last night. How is that okay? Screw you, Billy Bean. Get the diarrhea that Carlos Correa should have, okay? All right? There. All right. I got that out of my system. Go Yankees.
Have anything else to add on top of that? I feel like we should maybe end on a cheerier note than just Donaldson. I want to think about Josh Donaldson. Ugh.
Go
Tanaka. The Astros strike out a lot. So strike out a lot of Astros.
Hopefully, Evaldi's back for the ALDS if the Yankees make it. I would like that.
Go Yankee dingers. Go Yankees not walking people.
If you could score like 10 runs in the first inning, I would feel a lot better about the game. I'm just throwing that out there.
Just saying. Okay.
Like a big lead would make me feel good.
Yes.
All right. So follow Pinstrip Alley on Twitter. Pinstrip Alley. Greg at I'm not a HR hitter. Tanya at Tanya Bondurant. Me at Mern's PSA. And everyone else at wherever they are. It's on the masthead.
We're there.
And facebook.com/pinstripalley. We're going to be putting some stuff up throughout the game tomorrow. So keep an eye out for that.
You don't want to miss it.
You don't want to miss it. Just like Carlos Correa will not want to miss the toilets.
Have the Charmin ready. Because it's going to be a wild ride tomorrow.
Good night, everyone.